So we are in a time of, this COVID pandemic. How is the New York City Labor Corps doing now,
Okay. Yeah, as I mentioned, they are now continuing in rehearsals, but online with Zoom. So since they started doing that in I believe April, I've been able to rejoin them in rehearsals, and so it's a real bittersweet thing, except for the circumstances, I'm able to see, my old friends in the chorus again and sing with them more or less. We can't all sing together because of the delay that happens between computers and such. So we typically would just sing with the accompanist, Dennis Nelson, playing piano. We would only hear him play piano and our only ourselves, only myself singing. But it was still important to have that, for us to get together and see each other and talk and then have a little time to just to keep singing these songs, even if we can't hear each other sing. And my understanding is that they're going to try this fall to move into some other things, maybe do a recording together. But that takes a lot of time and money and to put recordings together from when you're working electronically like that.
So I know
Remotely.
you wrote this book now. So what are some of the key historical areas that you wrote about?
Yes, I have one chapter that focuses on the history of the labor movement and the music in the movement. There are at least a couple pages there devoted to the IWW, which, the Wobblies started in 1905, I believe, and just right from the start, music was very important to them. And this was a kind of they had a motto of, one big union, is that they wanted all workers to organize together. And they were different from, the American Federation of Labor at the time was the nation's largest union, and that union was very exclusive. It was almost completely white males, who were so-called skilled workers. They were in one of the crafts or they had, specific training and something. Then you could join the AFL. But the IWW included everyone, people of color, women. Even if you were unemployed, you could join the Wobblies. And the Wobblies would always be singing together and writing songs. Joe Hill is probably the most famous author of songs among the Wobblies. And so we sing some of the songs that came out of the Wobblies. Rock and Solidarity is an upbeat version of Solidarity Forever, and that came from an IWW singer-songwriter, Ralph Chaplin, and we sing some of Joe Hill's songs, and so that was an important era. The Wobblies unfortunately started to face a lot of just a lot of repression from the government in the 20s, and their numbers shrank a lot, but they IWW still exists today. But other eras are, the Great Depression. There were sit-down strikes in Michigan and the auto workers, and they would sing. When you're sitting in your workplace, you have to pass the time, and they would be singing together, and the people in solidarity outside of the factories would be singing too, and things got violent. The police and some of the vigilantes were, violently attacked. Workers and people that were outside in the picket lines. So, but through it all, they were singing, And then there's kind of also a rebound in the after World War II. You know, you had before and after World War II, you had the Almanac Singers, and they were recording a lot of the old labor songs with Woody Guthrie, and then but you know, then came the McCarthy era, and then as we know, they were a lot of artists who had any left leanings in their politics were labeled as communists, and that was when Paul Robeson famously lost his passport and could no longer travel the world and sing songs about struggles in labor and racial justice and so much more. So yeah, those are some of the important eras. And then, you know, labor unions have been in decline in membership since the 1980s when Reagan broke up the flight control workers while they were striking. So since then, it's been very tough to organize labor. And so, you know, I think that the founding mothers knew that you know, we need to do something to bring it back, to bring life back to the labor movement. Mm-hmm. And so there was all this rich history of singing in the labor movement. And so the idea was, let's bring that back. And there are really, you know, it's the labor chorus is keeping the old songs alive, but also bringing in many new songs, songs from, you know, including a song from the climate justice movement, from this new CD of theirs, 350, in reference to carbon, the limits that our atmosphere can take and carbon content. Mm-hmm. So, and more recently with the Black Lives Matter movement, there's also on that CD is Glory, which includes soloists from soprano Gwen Davis, outstanding singing, and then also some rapping from Lameek Johnson. So really the chorus is staying up to date while also keeping the old songs.
Right. So in your book, very interesting. So do you have graphic or pictures, different?
I do have a few pages in the middle events. Of the book. I wish I could show them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some photos going back in time.
You do have photos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just, close ups of a couple members and our accompanist Dennis Nelson and director Jenna Ballard and different shots of the chorus performing together. There's a photo of Paul Robeson, a poster of Paul Robeson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a poster for the Robeson Gala Centennial Salute in 1998, a big performance by the chorus in Carnegie Hall.
Right.
So the chorus was one of many performers for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking through this poster of a performance in 2000, the chorus members while they're in Cuba, visiting Cuba in 2011, it was a cultural exchange, so the chorus sang with some choruses in Cuba while they were there, so I missed that. Mm-hmm. I joined shortly after that meeting. And more recently, the chorus went to Puerto Rico, and the same kind of cultural exchange. Various photos of performances